Broadcasting live from the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in the ASTD International Convention and Expo.
Lee Cantor with Stone Payton live at ASTD 2014 in Washington, D.C. And look who's here. Look who we have here, Stone.
Hey, man, you couldn't ask for a better guest. We're in our home stretch. This is the last one or two interviews that we're going to do for the day. And we have with us right here on the panel the CEO of C-Squared Technologies. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Miss Dolly Oberoi. How are you doing?
Great. This is a wonderful show, and I'm really happy to be here.
Now, what's been your favorite part of the show so far?
The ice cream.
I know, you're kind of obsessing with the ice cream, Dolly.
I know, because I'm missing it.
Because people, everybody that's walking by is holding an ice cream.
Michael, go get her an ice cream.
So tell us a little bit about C-Squared. What are you guys doing for folks?
So C-Squared has been around for 25 years. We are celebrating our 25th anniversary this year. We consider ourselves as pioneers, not sounding to be too cliched here, but we did start developing online learning when it wasn't in style.
Before there was an online?
Before it was cool. Dolly was doing it before it was cool.
Yeah, we started with video disc technology that nobody even knows about anymore, and then we moved to video teletraining and CD-ROM based and web based, and now it's beautiful mobile and wearables, and the sky's the limit.
So do you miss those days of putting in all those discs and all that stuff?
Actually, yes, because we felt that the training we developed at the time had a lot more fidelity. Mm. The design, there was a lot of focus on the design. For example, we would develop surrogate travel systems for the Navy SEALs so they could go anywhere in the world and on rescue missions. Wow. We would create a whole virtual environment, a whole synthetic environment for them. Of course, the design was much more challenging because we didn't have the wonderful 3D modeling tools that we have today, but the outcomes were much better because people were much more focused on the performance as opposed to using cool technologies.
So what are the percentages like now in terms of instructor-led versus e-learning, online, self-learning? Is it very different than it was back then, I would think?
Well, you know, it depends on the industry. It depends on who you are talking to, what type of content, what type of target audience, what type of budgets they have. I would say that while we have been, since I started my career 25 years ago, we've been moving more and more towards technology-based learning solutions, mm-hmm. but the adoption has been still very slow. Unless there is a mission-critical need, such as in the military, people are not embracing technology as fast as we thought they would. They are afraid that they may not have the right tools and technologies. They're afraid of the cost. They're afraid their users will not be able to use them. And plus, we have a unique challenge these days. We are in a multi-generational environment where the workforce is ranging from the teens to the baby boomers and above, and they all have different levels of adoption of technology. So you know, it's hard to put numbers around this, but let's say that in the next 10 years, there'll be more technology-based than instructor-led because the digital natives are growing up, and they're not going to accept people
That's
anymore.
Right. That's going to be a challenge by itself, right?
Right.
Now, when you're moving from instructor-led to this e-learning, how do you get the instructor to kind of be more mobile friendly or e-friendly if they started out as, you know, standing in front of a room teaching people?
Right, like, because the magic trick and the juggling act, that doesn't work so well on the e-learning.
On a little screen, you know.
Well, again, you know, it depends on the individual. Some people are more reticent and don't accept technology, and others are eager to learn. So, again, it's a mix. But
can you just take a person and then just, if they were good in front of a room, can you make them good as an e-learning instructor?
Again, like I said, it depends. So, for example, some of our instructors, we did the crawl, walk, run strategy with them. So we started them as avatars on the screen, which they became comfortable with.
Okay, and baby steps, right?
Right, and then we trained them and coached them to be online, and then they, once they saw that it wasn't that difficult and their skills as instructors were still transferable, they became much more comfortable. But indeed, it is a bit of a transition.
Now, so, is there a way to measure success when you're going from you're using the e-learning and mobile? Like, what are your metrics that you guys use?
So yes, actually, we use because it's technology based, it's all getting recorded. For example, we are using learning management systems as the back end. We're using tools like Metrics That Matter and all kinds of tools that are collecting data. So it's a lot easier actually to collect data, and the fidelity of the data is much higher than it would be when you're doing paper pencil evaluations.
Because it's one thing, just because you can measure something doesn't mean it should be measured, right?
Well, you know, it depends on what you want. If you want to know whether the instructor is doing well or not, you want to measure. You have to identify what you want to measure, really.
Right, but it's if the instructor gets 5 smiley faces, doesn't mean that the person learned what you wanted them to learn.
Correct. But it gets triangulated because we are gathering data also on performance outcomes based on how well they did in their tests, how well they did in the capstone exercises. So it gets triangulated. It's not just the smiley faces, but also the outcomes of their interactions with the content.
So if I'm an executive or a training and development professional inside an organization, and I recognize, look, we're a little behind the curve on the e-learning, on the mobile, and we know it, what are some early steps, some recommendations you would have us follow just to kind of help us get acclimated and catch up and get in there with the rest of you guys?
Right. So, you know, that is not unique. A lot of organizations are still in the 20th century learning environments. And one of the specialties that I personally have and I enjoy and our company has is helping organizations transform from chalkboard to e-learning, electronic learning environments. So first strategy is to develop a transformation plan, because unless there's an organizational training transformation plan, nothing can happen. And then take sample courses and see how they can be transferred to the learning environments. And some of them won't transfer completely to the e-learning environment, so can they be transferred to a blended solution, for example? If you are training first responders on how to respond to radiation-related transportation accidents, well, they're very good first responders, but they may not know how to respond to radiation-related mm-hmm. accidents. So let's get them to learn in their own environment all the knowledge-based objectives. And then we bring them to a 2-day class so they can actually get hands-on practice on how to actually attend to a transportation accident. And then we provide on-the-job support to them so they can keep refreshing and learning and recertifying themselves. So these are sort of transitional steps that people can take.
But this is an actual area of specialty for C-Squared.
Yes.
You guys are good at this, and you've developed some methodology, some structure, some rigor around this.
Right, exactly.
So now, what's your biggest challenge in the marketplace? Just making them aware that you're a specialist in this area, or what's your challenge?
See, I think it's an interesting time to be around with this kind of a business, because there are so many, many vendors now delivering so many different options. And one of the challenges is for the buyers, how do you select a good learning solutions developer from a mediocre one? And then people who sell software say they can also develop solutions, but that may not be their specialty. So just trying to sort that out for the consumers is very difficult. And for us, we need to be in front of our consumers all the time. Showcasing what we are doing is showcasing best practices and presenting a lot at conferences and making sure that our clients are participating with us so they can be the spokespeople.
And they're telling your story.
Exactly.
Now, do you find that your the clients that you've helped are open to telling your story for you?
Absolutely. In fact, one of our clients was over here, and he stood at our booth, and he started. He was on his soapbox telling
that's
everybody,
great.
"Hey, that's my course. They're demonstrating it was the best thing since sliced bread." So, yeah, they're the best spokespeople.
So you need him to hang out more in your booth.
Yep, and I didn't even offer him ice cream, so didn't pay him to do that.
All right, we're going to turn you loose and let you get some ice cream, but before we do, I want to make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you and get a chance to have a conversation with you about this stuff.
Sure, you can reach us at www.c2ti.com. That's our website. We're also present on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, GovLoop, you have it. Just yell C-Square Technologies, yell Dolly Oberoi, Google me, and you'll find me.
Howl at the moon, you'll find them. That's fantastic. Well, it has been a real pleasure. Thank you so much, Dolly.
Thank you. Enjoy the show.
All right. We'll be back in a few from the show floor of ASTD ICE 2014.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.